Welcome to Friday, Explorers Club friends. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have a very special guest with us. His name is Avi. One word, that's it. His twin sister gave him that name when they were just wee little babies, and it's stuck all this time. Avi is best known for his middle grade historical fiction books, but you could say he's pretty eclectic. Over many, many years, he's written mysteries and fantasies, adventure stories, ghost stories, animal tales. We love Poppy the Mouse. He's written dozens of books, won a Newbery Medal. But Avi admits that writing is still really hard work. Do you enjoy the adventures of Ragweed and Poppy? They are such lovable mice helping each other out. What questions do you have for Avi about writing books? Here's the number, grown-ups, lend a hand, 800-642-1234. Avi, welcome to the Ideas Network and welcome back to Wisconsin.
Thank you very much. It's delighted to be here.
I understand you spent some time on UW-Madison campus.
I was a student there and for quite a few years. Well, not quite a few, but seems a long time ago. And guess what? The very first time I had anything published was a student magazine.
The student magazine was your first time. Wow. What was that like?
Well, it was fun, but it was sort of new, exciting, and I don't even have a copy of that magazine anymore. I wish I did, but it was exciting.
I understand that writing was a bit difficult for you when you were a kid. What was going on?
Well, I have a mindset. I don't know even know how to describe it. It's called dysgraphia. Lots of people have heard about dyslexia, which is a problem that people have when they have difficulties reading. But believe it or not, dysgraphia, which I have, still have, I have problems writing. My spelling, I hold the record for the worst speller in the world. That's part of it. Mixing up letters. It was my aunt who said to me, Avi, you can spell a four-letter word wrong five different ways. So, anyway.
How did you discover that you could work through this? I understood you had a tutor who really helped you.
Well, when I was in high school, we're talking ancient history, right? My English teacher called my parents up and said I was the worst student he ever had. Oh. Unless I had a tutor, they wouldn't let me back into that school. So guess what? I spent that summer working with that tutor. And it wasn't so much she couldn't correct that dysgraphia. What she did was make me feel that I could write or want to write. And that makes all the difference in the world. So from that point on, I was really interested in writing. Didn't solve the problem, but gave me the desire to work through the problem. And so it was. But the real miracle was, and I had already been published, getting a computer with the world's greatest invention. Do you know what the world's greatest invention is?
I think I can guess.
A spell checker.
Avi, how does writing make you feel now?
Well, writing is work. It's my work. I've been doing it, for more than 50 years. It's what I do when I get up in the morning and I do all day. The thing what I love most about writing is creating stories, stories that people will enjoy, that they get caught up into, that they get excited, that they laugh or cry or feel excited. Story making is so much fun, and it's not easy. And I've had some bad stories on the way, but I love to write a good story.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with children and young adult author Avi this hour. Avi recently wrote a new book about Poppy, the adventurous little mouse. What questions do you have for Avi? What is your favorite book that you've read by Avi? Join in. Here's the number, 800-642-1234. Let's talk about your Poppy series. You have a new book called Ragweed and Poppy. Can you share a little bit about this new story?
Well, what happened is 25 years ago, I wrote a book called Poppy, and just wrote it because I thought I had a good story. And apparently people thought so. It won a big award and people loved it. And then something came along that made me think, well, maybe I could extend that story. So I wrote a sequel to that story called Poppy and Rye. And then there seemed to be a character that kept popping up named Ragweed. So I went back and wrote a prequel called Ragweed. And then I went on to write another book called, another favorite character, a grumpy old porcupine named Aerith. I wrote birthday. Everyone loves Aerith. And then I wrote another one and another one. So there were six. And then readers would ask me, wait a minute, there's a gap in the story. How did Poppy ever meet Ragweed? How did Ragweed ever meet Poppy? So I got together with my favorite illustrator, Brian Floca, and he agreed if I wrote the book, he would do the pictures. And indeed, that's what we did. So that's the story, Ragweed and Poppy. It's number two in the sequence. So I wrote them in a cockeyed way, but now you can read them from book one to book seven, and the whole story is there.
Well, so just is kind of the way our world is. You know, things happen here and there. You have to fill out this, you know, part of the world and this part of the world. What is so endearing about Poppy?
Oh, I think that's the question you have to ask the readers. She's two things, I think. She's very sweet. She's very caring. But she's also very brave and intrepid. And so she goes out into the world and solves problems that she finds herself in and solves problems for her readers and her friends. And she's sweet. She loves to dance. She's a dancer. And she's very loving. I don't really know what endears her to readers. I hope somebody calls in and can tell me why. I love her. I love her. And her best friend is Aerith the porcupine, who is in every way opposite. He's big, he's prickly, he's grumpy, he likes to say things and it sound like swearing, but they're just invented words. But he cares for Poppy a great deal. It's a kind of friendship that's unusual and fun. So I love to write Aerith.
We are spending the hour with Avi. He is the author of dozens of children's books over the decades, and we have the pleasure of learning about his creative world. Do you like mysteries and page-turners like Avi's Crispin trilogy? What about the admirable mice, Ragweed and Poppy? What is your favorite book that you've read by Avi? Join in. Here comes that number, 800-642-1234. We'll be back in two shakes with Avi right here on the Ideas Network. Thank you. If you're just joining us, we have a very special children's author here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're visiting with Avi. His very first book was published in 1970, a half century ago. Whoa, that book was called Things That Sometimes Happen. And his new book just came out. It's called Ragweed and Poppy. Poppy is that lovable deer mouse. Ragweed is her friend. So what do you want to ask Avi about his writing process? Do you have a favorite Avi book that you'd like to share? Join in, grown-ups. Here's that number to lend a hand, 800-642-1234. And Avi is staying with us for the hour. Let's bring in a call now. Jerry is joining us from Waukesha. Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. I'm enjoying your conversation with Avi, and I'm wondering how he had come up with such really unusual but fun names for the characters.
Oh, okay. Well, I was writing this book, and the first book, Poppy, and then, of course, when you write a book and you have lots of characters, you want to give names. And I thought, well, they live in a forest. Why not give them names of various plants, weeds, what have you? And just found an encyclopedia of plants and found names that fit the characters. Now, Ragweed was sort of sassy and bold and worked that way. Poppy was a softer sounding name. Her father, who's always blathering about one thing or another, there's a plant called lungwort. I love that name, and so forth. Aerith comes from the scientific name of a porcupine. The technical name of a porcupine is Erison dorsatum. I don't know if I get that right pronunciation, but the first sound of it is Aerith, so I kept that name, and that's the way that worked. I should mention, by the way, since we're on radio, one of the big influences in my writing life is radio. When I was a boy growing up in New York City, my great love was for radio. There were many radio shows for kids, Superman, The Lone Ranger, Jack Armstrong. I adored these shows, and every evening at 5 o'clock, I would sit next to a radio, the family radio, and listen to these adventures. And I really think they influenced my writing style.
Because you could create those images in your mind's eye by listening to these radio shows.
Exactly. And they were, you know, and if you look at my books, they're full of dialogue, they're full of description. I think a lot of that came from listening to the radio.
Well, let's take another call now. Sarah is with us from Zion, Illinois. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, good morning. Hi, Avi. I have to apologize because I don't remember your book very well. I know I've read one at some point, but I can't really remember it very well. And but I'm going to go read them more because I need something happy to read lately. And my question is, how much do you feel like Beatrix Potter was an inspiration for your characters and stories?
Okay, repeat that question again.
Was Beatrix Potter an inspiration for your stories?
Well, I wouldn't think a great deal. I read them as a kid. I gave them to my own children. She's a charming writer, charming illustrator. She's right there at the top of all of that stuff for young people. But I can't say that she influenced me very much. I could admire her, but I don't think there's much influence. But she is wonderful.
What would you suggest the books that we put in our kids' hands? What kind of recommendations would you give us?
Well, I have a great memory of picture books. My mother really was interested in picture books, and our house had them, and I can remember names. I mean, these are old books, but they're still around. You know, Ferdinand the Bull, To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street, Otto the Giant Dog. You see, I can remember these titles from many, many years ago. And then at one point, as I began to read, it was a series of books by an interesting writer named Thornton W. Burgess. And he wrote animal stories. And when he wrote these stories, they were serialized in newspapers. So they're very short chapters. They're sort of simple books, but I adored them. And I not only read them, but there was a bookstore in my neighborhood, a used bookstore, and I could buy his books for 25 cents each. So I'd save up my allowance and buy these. And I had a whole collection of them, and I adored them, and they were illustrated as well. And then I discovered another book called Freddy the Pig. But, you know, they are wonderful, wonderful books for young people today. These are old books. They're still fine books. They're still all available. The trick is just to wander into the library, wander into a bookstore. Hard to do these days, I know. But go online, and there's wonderful, wonderful things. And the most wonderful thing you can do with a young child is read to them out loud every night. And you will share all kinds of adventures, laughs, tears, mystery. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to do with a child. It's wonderful.
We're talking with Avi, the author of dozens of children and young adult books. We're talking about writing and creativity, taking your kids' questions this hour. Are you creative? What inspires you to write stories or draw pictures or make other kinds of art? What are your favorite books that you've ever read? Join in 800-642-1234. Avi, how important is reading today for your creative process? How important is it to read in order to write?
Well, I have a slogan that I believe that I invented for myself, but anyone is welcome to take it. And it's this, and I'll say it slowly so we all hear it. Writers don't write writing, they write reading. Writers don't write writing, they write reading. The job of the writer is to create stories that people want to read. And if I don't do a good job, they're not fun to read. It's as simple as that. And the whole focus of writing, at least as far as I'm concerned, is to write something that can be read. Hopefully read out loud, but just read. When I finish the first draft of a book, what do you think I do first? I read it out loud to my wife. It makes me nervous. She's a very tough, good critic. Exactly what she thinks, and she has often very, very good ideas. But that's what I do. Read out loud with a pen in my hand so I catch things that I want to change. And then after I do that and rewrite the book some more, I go into a classroom. I have a favorite school near where I live, and I read it, the book, out loud. I come back day after day and read about 25 pages, and the students, the kids, my friends, they tell me what they think, they react.
Oh, it's like your test market a little bit.
Yeah, and if they get a little squirmy at one point, I put a big X next to my manuscript on that page and say, cut this. They're very polite. They won't say, oh, this is boring. But I can see how they squirm in their seats. And that tells me I'm not holding them as tightly as I can. So I go back and rewrite some more. So that's the process.
Avi, we heard from Faith in Osceola, called in, and Faith couldn't stay with us. But Faith says their daughter is a senior and she has dysgraphia. And Faith is wondering how you would encourage her to pursue creative writing?
Well, first of all, do pursue it. I would recommend that you get a computer. I presume she does have one. But if not, it makes a huge, huge difference in writing. Make sure there has a spell checker on it. And then I have some odd suggestions that I've learned over the years. One of the things I do is when I'm working on the book, I change the color of the screen. Believe it or not, a light green field or a light blue enables me to see what I'm writing with greater clarity. I also change the fonts. You can actually get what's called a dyslexic font, and that helps you, the writer, see what you're writing. Then I'd also recommend reading out loud to someone. There were times when nobody would be around to listen to what I had to read, and I would read to our dog. He was very quiet, and he liked the sound of my voice, and he didn't give me a lot of criticism.
What a pleasure to be talking with children's author Avi this hour. One name says it all. He's written dozens of books over the decades. You might enjoy the Poppy series or the Crispin trilogy. Perhaps you've read The True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle. Join in to talk with Avi about writing, about life. Here's the number, friends, 800-642-1234. Don't go anywhere. We will continue our conversation with Avi, maybe hear from you right after this news update on the Ideas Network. Welcome to Friday, Explorer friends. Thanks for being here. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and it is the morning show. What a privilege. We're getting to talk with the award-winning author, Avi. And as a kid growing up in New York, he was shy, not into sports. He read picture books, then chapter books, comic books, and believe it or not, he listened to lots of kids' radio. Who knows, maybe just like this. We're exploring his writing world and the adventures his characters have been on. Avi's written dozens of books. Maybe your favorite is the Poppy series. What kinds of books do you like to read? Here's the number. Grown-ups, assist us. It's 800-642-1234. And Avi is our special guest for the hour. Let's take another call now. Linda is with us from Ripon. Hi, Linda.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. Hello, Avi. What a privilege and a pleasure is it to be able to talk to you. I'm a youth services. Hi. I'm a youth services librarian, and so have shared your books with hundreds and hundreds of families and children, including my own when they were younger. And I thank you for that, and also just wanted to reference your reference of Thornton Burgess and some influence there, and mention that those are excellent books as well. We have the entire set. My daughter, basically, that was her launching into becoming a confident reader, and then she then launched into the Poppy and Rye series. And what we loved and what she would stop and say and read aloud to us in some of the Thornton Burgess books and in yours would be some of those great wisdoms that come through in the characters. And I just wanted you to know that. I think authors sometimes can't fully understand and imagine all the people who are sharing their books and talking about their books in their homes, and you, in essence, your stories, your characters, and you, through that connection, honestly become part of a family's culture. And it's just really a wonderful, beautiful thing. So I hope anybody listening today will just look up all of your books and read them.
Thank you. It's true. As a writer, I don't know who my readers are. I get letters. Occasionally, I have the great pleasure of chatting on a show like this. And it's very, very meaningful. Here I live now in Colorado in the middle of a forest, 9,000 feet up. I'm surrounded by mountains, some of which still have some snow on the top. And I write my books and I'm thinking, who's going to read this? Who is anyone going to enjoy this? So to hear something such as you just said is not only a great pleasure, but it's enormously a powerful incentive for me to keep working. So thank you for your kind words.
Oh, Linda, that was so beautiful. Let's bring in Lynn now, joining us from Coloma. Hi, Lynn.
Hello, good morning. Avi, did you write the book, The Fighting Ground?
Yes. Yes, I did.
I was a teacher for 20 years, and I taught fifth grade, which is about 11, 12 years old. And we would take the whole day and read the book in a day. And the kids even came to school early to start it. And it was the most fun, and we loved it.
Oh, and this is the book about the Revolutionary War, Avi?
Yeah, correct.
It's such a good one.
And should I tell you how that book came about?
Please do.
Yes, please.
Well, I had just gone into New York City to meet with an editor, and the editor was telling me that she didn't like a book I had given her and that she wasn't going to publish it. So I was coming back from New York City to my home, which was then in New Jersey. I was on a bus, and I was thinking, now what in the world am I going to write next? And as I came down the road, the bus was coming down somewhat slowly, and there was one of these historical markers on the road, and it said that this tiny little, not a battle, but a skirmish had been fought right there during the American Revolution. This is in New Jersey. And the last line of the plaque said, it was not meaningful and only a very few people were killed. And I thought, wait a minute, for the people who were involved, it was enormously meaningful. And I said, oh, that's the basis for a good book. And that's the inspiration I had for writing The Fighting Ground.
And it's 13-year-old Jonathan, I understand, who is the main character.
That's correct. It's in the midst of the American Revolution, and he's determined to go off and do his part. And off he goes, and it's not a happy journey.
Well, Lynn, thank you for sharing that classroom experience and for calling. Let's bring in Colleen now, who's joining us from Sharon this morning. Hi, Colleen.
Hi. I'm so happy to hear you. I just wanted to share a quick story. I have three stepchildren who are deaf from a deaf family. And when they were growing up with us, when they would be at our house, one of the books I randomly picked out to work on with them was Crispin. So I translated the entire book for those kids night after night. And I have to tell you, our relationship was not easy. I'm a stepmom. But that is one thing that they looked forward to every single night that brought us together. And we got through the whole book. It's quite a challenge. You've got interesting characters, and it challenged my interpreting skills. But years later, one of my stepdaughters even asked me to have that book. So it was very meaningful to us.
Well, as a stepfather of four stepchildren, I can relate to your struggles. But, you know, I'm close to all my stepkids. I have a couple of biologicals, as I call them. So
how did the Crispin series come about, Avi?
I was driving along with my wife. We were coming up to our home here in the mountains, and I listened to a lecture. We listened to a lecture by a guy named Teofilo Ruiz, who was in the history department at University of California. And his lecture was about the medieval times. And I thought, wow, this is really fascinating. I need to find out more from that. Anyway, from that point on, I got involved in doing research and so forth, and that's the way those books evolved.
And you must have had to really immerse yourself in medieval times to really build your plot and your landscapes and your set.
Absolutely. At one point, for example, I have Crispin running through a forest. And I suddenly said to myself, wait a minute, this is not Colorado. He's in England, medieval England. What kind of trees did he pass? So I had to research medieval English forests. Found it. It's no more than a line in the book, but it was meaningful to me. I love to do research like that.
And those little details matter so much, maybe, to the reader to understand a fuller picture of what those characters are going through.
but it's also meaningful to the writer because it gives you confidence that you're describing something that is real, that you're not just pulling it out of the air. It makes what you're doing, what can I say? It gives it a reality that helps you write it that much more. So it's very important.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with the author Avi with us for this hour. We're discussing his many books, taking your questions, your remembrances of reading Avi's books. What do you want to know about the life of this author? Do you want to be an author someday? What advice would you like? Join in 800-642-1234. Avi, you've written so many books, but I'm wondering, how is it for a writer to take a criticism, like from an editor saying, I don't like this book. I don't like what you did with it.
Well, when you agree to work with an editor, you are agreeing to work together. There are editors who I've loved working with, and I'll be honest, there are some editors that I've enjoyed working with less, shall we say. But you have to accept the premise that everybody is working towards the making of a good book. So when I get a criticism from an editor, I have to think hard about it and I have to try it out. And 90% of the time they're correct and it makes for a better book. But you just learn to accept it and you learn to work with it. An editor is a colleague. I'm sure anyone in any working situation is willing to say, you say you're a carpenter and someone says, you know, you're holding that hammer incorrectly. You hold it here at the end and then you learn it and you see, oh, I can hammer a nail better. So I think one always has to, if you're a writer, if you out there in the public, if you're writing for people, you have to be willing to accept criticism. Not always easy, not always pleasant, but you have to live with it and work with it.
About how many revisions might you go through when you're writing a book?
I rewrite a book 70 or 80 times before I'm done.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yes, it is. Don't try this at home, as they say.
Children's author Avi, guiding us through his creative world, his writing process. And he's written many types of children's books over the years, from picture books to young adult novels. What is your favorite genre? Is there something you've always wanted to ask Avi? Are you wanting some words of advice to get you started with your plot of a book or your revisions? Join in 800-642-1234. We'll be back in a flash with Avi. Stay with us. He's at our side right here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What an absolute pleasure to be visiting with Avi. When he was growing up, he had difficulty with writing and his teachers were concerned about his messy work. He had some tutoring sessions one summer and that inspired him to become a writer. Something clicked, but it would still be many years until his first book was published. Do you like to get lost in a book? Maybe you have lots of ideas swirling around in your head, but it's hard to capture them or get them right on paper. What is that like for you? Here's a number to call to talk with Avi. It's 800-642-1234. And Avi is with us for 10 more minutes. Avi, you've been kind enough to bring us a writing exercise for everyone listening. Can you share that exercise with us?
Well, I had this idea that would be fun for young people to write. Imagine two very different sized creatures, say a mouse and an elephant, a hummingbird and an ostrich, a goldfish, and a whale. Now, do you think you could invent an adventure that the two of them could have together? Big, very big, and small, very small. It could be funny. It could be, I don't know what it could be, but I bet someone out there could invent the story with such odd characters. There's my idea for the day.
I love it. I have this image in my head of the mouse sitting on the elephant's trunk and hitching a ride.
There you go. I like that idea right away.
Off they go.
Maybe the elephant is slightly, can't see very well. He's very old. His eyes have dimmed. So he has the mouse sitting at the tip of his trunk saying, okay, go to the right, go to the left. Now, straight ahead. There you go.
But the mouse can hear, or I'm sorry, the elephant, they have very good hearing. So maybe the elephant can hear and feel things on the ground that the mouse just can't and is also helping in the cause.
I think we have a good book going here.
Have you used prompts like this to inspire your story ideas?
Never. Well, wait a minute. I should stop and say, years ago, I met a fellow who told me that he was, every summer he would go to his grandma's house on the beach of New Jersey. And he said, here's a story for you. This was during the Great Depression and during the time when alcohol was illegal. And his grandmother would lock him up in the house and say, you're not to go outside because the smugglers are coming. He said, write that book. And I did. So I did get a prompt. There was a prompt right there.
What's your favorite thing or character you've ever written? Is there one that you've just been particularly smitten?
Kate, that's like asking me which of my children are my favorite. You know, that's not fair. But you know, there's some, I mean, there's a character in the Crispin books named Bear. He's a wonderful character. Aerith from the Poppy books are great characters. There's a girl in a book called Catch You Later, Traitor, who's named Cat. And she's quite a marvelous character. So sometimes the way I express it, writers get lucky. They stumble in, they find their way to create a character who becomes so real to them. I'll tell you a story about that. When I wrote True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle, I thought the book was done. My editor called up and said, you know, we forgot something in the book. She doesn't really say goodbye to the crew. And of course, I realized he was right. And so I sat down, and it's just a couple of paragraphs in the book. And she's saying goodbye to her favorite colleagues, sailors on the boat. And as she's saying goodbye, the tears in me start flowing because I am saying goodbye to Charlotte myself. So you get very fond of characters. You do. You do.
And this is 13-year-old Charlotte who is taking this voyage from Liverpool, England to Rhode Island to her new home. And this is in the 1800s. How has this story kind of shaped and put forth new ideas in your books?
Well, sometimes books lead to one another. I don't know if that one led to another, but that book, the Charlotte book, came out of another book called The Man Who Was Poe. This was a novel I wrote about the writer Edgar Allan Poe, a very extraordinary man, real man. And he created mysteries. He invented what we call mystery stories. And he had a kind of mystery called a locked room mystery. Something happens that's inexplicable in a locked room. And then as I was reading about him, I thought, what could be more of a locked room than a ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? Mm. And out of that came True Confessions of Charlotte Doyle. So books do lead to one another.
We're talking with the author Avi, written many books, many characters through the year. The mice, the wolves, Charlotte Doyle, pirates. What have you learned about history through reading books? Still time for you, 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Julie now, calling from Lime Ridge. Hi, Julie.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to say thank you to Avi for all his wonderful books. We started reading them with my daughter when she was a first grader. She's 21 years old now, and her favorite copy or her favorite characters are Ragweed, Poppy, and Blinker. And one of the funny things that happened to us, we started reading Ragweed first and went back and found out that Poppy had her own book. And the very first sentence in the book about Poppy, Ragweed is killed by the owl. Oh my gosh, just 2 days ago we were talking about that, and it was such a, we just sat there in shock after we read that first sentence. And, but we've had many cats named after your characters, Mr. Drabble, Mr. Grout. We still have Poppy, and just thank you for the wonderful hours and the great books.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's always, honestly, a bit of a surprise to realize that books that I've written have entered into the lives of my readers to such a degree. It gives me a great deal of pleasure. Thank you so much.
To think that your characters live on in household pets is interesting and wonderful.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Are you writing still every day? What's in your head? What's in Avi's head?
I'm writing 3 books. Is that enough?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm trying to finish another book that deals with the American Revolution. I'm writing another book that's set in Venice, Italy, in the Renaissance. How's that for a change of venue? And I'm working with an editor now. We're putting our thoughts together for yet another book that takes place in the 20th century, early 20th century. So I'm busy. I'm very busy.
As you look around you and the effects of the pandemic, has that encroached on your writing world at all?
Well, I would think so, because I'm not seeing people the way I like to see people, you know, in stores, on the street, in restaurants. I think that sort of crimps my style, my active thinking life a little bit. And the news is so difficult and grim. It makes you think, and I dare say it enters into my books in ways that I don't fully understand. How could it not? I don't necessarily see that or feel it. I was chatting with your producer, and he said, we're going to play the news before we go on the air. And I said, I hope it's good news. He said, I'm afraid it's not. So that's the constant drone of bad news is hard. It's hard.
That's why we look for these bright spots with you.
Oh, thank you. I hope we can get them. Do we have time for a funny story about Wisconsin that I can tell you?
Very quickly. We're so close to out of time. But if it's Wisconsin.
Well, when I was part of the Wisconsin Idea Theater, they recruited a bunch of us students to do a 1-hour version of Othello, if you can imagine such a thing. And we got into what's called a station wagon. We toured all over Wisconsin. So many of your callers are mentioning towns that I only remember because we did this ridiculous production of Shakespeare many, many years ago. But it reminds me of that trip. It was much fun.
Oh, Avi, thank you for joining us. And this is The Morning Show, the Explorers Club on The Morning Show. And you're listening to the Ideas Network.